symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and as always, I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of the Spinebuster, the 1A of tag team wrestlers, our TV champion. He's the enforcer, and it was his birthday this past week. ARN Anderson. ARN, how are you, my friend?
I'm 65. That's how I am. So that's going to be open to discussion. In one hand, you know, I'm thrilled, and I'd love to be saying I'm 85 at some point. But boy, it just got here. Like the last 20 years just jumped on me.
I believe it, man. It flew by not only 65. And by the way, you told me there was a big old chocolate cake. Was that and what else part of the celebration? As this drops, you have already celebrated. So what else did you guys do?
Well, we went to Nakato's Japanese Steakhouse, which is really off the hook. We've been going there since it was open, probably 25 years. We've been customers there. It's phenomenal. And then I got a chocolate, heavy chocolate cake.
I like how you said heavy. That just makes it sound good.
What, you know what? She somehow melts chocolate chips into the cake so that when you bite in, it's not just the edges that have the chocolate, it's in there.
It's all up in that cake mix. Well, shout out to Aaron for just putting on another clinic of a birthday celebration for you, my friend. Congratulations.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you very much. Glad to be here. And hopefully we'll have a few more birthdays on the air here.
Hey, listen, by the way, I wanted to also share, I don't even think we talked about this. This episode represents, you know what these four fingers are, right? This is the four-year anniversary of the ARN podcast.
Has it been 4 years?
4 years, yes, sir. The research guy, they all put the schedule together and like, Paul, this is the four-year anniversary of the show.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's flying by.
Well, you know, we'll leave it up to the listeners. If they're still having a good time, we still got a bunch of career to go.
We do, and I'm loving every minute of it, ARN. And so are the fans. Listeners, I hear from them every single week. They're loving this show and your stories and reliving your wrestling career, my friend.
Well, if it's all right with you, as long as they're still enjoying it, we'll keep doing it. When they quit enjoying it, we'll quit doing it.
That sounds good. So,
deal?
Well, it's a deal. Speaking of enjoyment, I know you've also been enjoying touring this countryside. You and Brock making appearances, and the last couple weeks, you guys actually made it up to the Northeast. GraniteCon, tell me all about it. How was that weekend?
Well, it was memories back to, you know, when I used to go there with the other company as a producer quite a bit. It's a small little functional place. Everything's kind of close together. Nice gym. We stayed at a nice hotel, the event was actually just walk down a hallway, maybe 50 feet, and there you were. It was the DoubleTree.
Did you get a cookie when you checked in?
Yes, I did. You know I did.
Of course you did. That's the beauty of the DoubleTree.
And let me just say to the people that put that thing on, you know, they did a great job. They were very, very, very nice. Cordial to us, and they took good care of us, and we were very, very thankful to be there, and it was just a very, very positive thing for everybody.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you got to, because you said, hey, listen, we don't get to get up to the Northeast very often. It had been a long time for you and Brock, so I'm glad it all worked out, and you had a good turnout, it sounds like.
Wes, it was good. It was very busy for those guys. I mean, the people that come to those things, man, I just sit there and I'm amazed at some of the costuming that they put together.
Very great.
Very creative.
Yeah, the Comic Cons and all that. All right, let's. We got two more things, and then we'll jump into this week's show. I know you guys are just itching to hear some of what we got going on this week with June 1993. We got an email update since the last time you and I recorded about the book, the graphic novel, Arn Anderson, My Life as Wrestling's Enforcer. Three of the four book plates have been completed and now on their way to Ireland. They're all part of the Kickstarter exclusive. The books are on the ship. They're headed to the warehouse. They will be packaged and sent to all the fans. Dirk promises Arn that once the books actually arrive, the fulfillment will be quick. I don't know where else they can send these books to for signings. If Zimbabwe, who knows? But it sounds like they finally got it wrapped up. And so he closes his email, Arn. He says, as always, thank you for your support and your patience. I still contend that this book is one of the most gorgeous books I've ever had the honor of working on, and all of us are extremely excited for you all to get to read it. Arn, we are anxious and ready to read this book, and Dirk is super pumped about it, man. I cannot wait. It's almost here.
I just hope and pray it's worth the wait, guys. I hope it is. I think it is, and we put a lot of work into it and a lot of heart into it, and you know, thanks to all those guys, and you know, it had some kicking some dirt over some parts of my life and digging some stuff up. So hope it's worth the wait.
You can still head over to arncomic.com and check it out there. I think the pre-sale at one point sold out on Amazon. You can still check it out over there as well too. But that's where you're going to find all things Arn Anderson and this glorious graphic novel comic book that we've been waiting on. And then one more piece of business, Arn, before we get started. I don't know if you know this or not, but I get the chance to sit down every week with one of the greatest wrestling minds, one of your old pals, Kevin Sullivan, on Tuesdays with the Taskmaster. It's on adfreeshows.com. How about that? Can you believe I get to work with one of your old pals, Kevin Sullivan?
Well, you're going to be with the devil, and that would be Kevin. He really is the devil, you know.
Oh, I know.
It's going to make me look even more like an angel.
You look like an altar boy compared to the devil. So you're doing real well. But man, listen, he is a great guy. It's an exclusive adfreeshows.com. Over 50 years in the business. He was wrestling in the WWF in the 70s with some of those guys. Haystacks Calhoun, tag team partners with him in Florida, and then up in, and he did some matches there. So we're having a blast. Check it out. And I actually have a clip I'm going to play because he talked about how he would finish the Cody Rhodes story. Let's take a listen.
He needs to win the belt, but he needs to do what his father did. If he's playing his father's story, his father put the heels over first, dumped all the heat, all the adversity. I mean, then he beat Brock with a broken arm. I think they're doing it perfectly. And now I think if they go to WrestleMania 40,
okay,
it's time.
What do you think, seeing your old pal Kevin there? He's watching current wrestling too.
You know, Kevin and I were, you know, during the WCW days when I was in the office and Rick had ceased to be in the office. So it was kind of like it was Kevin and myself and Jimmy Hart in there kind of holding down the ship. I spent a lot of time with Kevin. We'd go to the gym as soon as our meetings were done, you know, down in Atlanta. And, you know, we were together quite a bit, and we got pretty close there for a while. And nothing ever happened except we just went different ways employment-wise. But if you want to really find out how smart he is, test him on some sports trivia. He's brilliant.
He is.
He's brilliant.
We talk about it, too.
And he knows all of it, from hockey to soccer to baseball to football, you name it. He'll amaze you. He's a smart guy, big time.
As big a baseball fan as you are, Arn, and by the way, congratulations on your Braves clinching the NL East and since the last time we talked.
Hold that, because the last 8 or 10 days they have fell on their ass.
I know, but still they've clinched. They do need to get hot at the right time. You're right. I have a big Braves fan friend of mine that's saying the same thing you are.
Well, there's a time to coast, you know, and that's certainly after you clinch. But there's something to be said for momentum, too. You don't want to come in the back door from a losing stretch. I really need them to get hot again.
Don't lose to those Phillies, right? Those Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, they've been on fire.
I know. I saw them hitting home runs left and right last night.
Well, they got some talent. It was just a question when they were going to fire up. That's for sure.
It's going to be fun to see. But Kevin Sullivan, big baseball fan, Red Sox, he is so upset they traded Mookie Betts. We talk about all that stuff with Tuesday with the Taskmaster, but you can literally pick his brain from the 70s, 80s, all the way through now. He'll pick up the fake pencil and act like he's Booker again and tell you how he would do certain storylines. So it's a lot of fun. You can catch it every Tuesday on ad-free shows, plus thousands of other bonus content. And here's a special offer right now. New subscribers save 20% off their first month by going to adfree20.com. That's 20% off month one right now at adfree20.com. And check out Tuesday with the Taskmaster, hosted by yours truly. It's such a pleasure to be a part of that with Kevin. And we're having a lot of fun over there. So take advantage of that offer. Arn, we move on. It's time to get into this. I know our listeners are ready, and we're going to pick up the walk through your career where we left off last week, and we discussed the only time that you wrestled for the world title on pay-per-view, and the week after that event, good old Dave Meltzer had this to say about the match. I'm going to share this with you. Barry Windham pinned Arn Anderson in 10 minutes and 56 seconds to retain the NWA title. Very good action, hampered by a lame finish, and the fact that they should have allotted these two five more minutes. Windham juiced at 5 minutes from a guardrail shot. A lot of big bumps by both men. Anderson threw down referee Randy Anderson, allowing Windham to sneak up from behind and nail him with the title belt and score the pin. He gave it 3.5 stars. Arn, Meltzer takes a lot of heat from segments of the internet wrestling community, but it's hard to argue what he wrote as far as here with you and Barry. Do you agree that it could have gone another 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah, of course. But, I mean, that's Monday morning quarterback.
And sure.
Do I think it would have made a difference in the fact that we did not build it right, which we went through? You would have had to have gotten me hot for that to have mattered. And let's just face it, they were more relying on my ability just to go out and have a very good title match with Barry, other than, hey, we got to get this guy hot just like we would any other contender. And once you're now at the, you know, you're at match time, it doesn't really matter that you do anything or go a little longer. The die's already been cast.
You make a good point, Arn, and you've said it before. You knew that here in this role, you were to make him look good and to be strong and to still put on one hell of a match, which you guys delivered, entertaining-wise. But again, we know he's going to move on, and that was the ultimate play there.
Had no problem with that. No problem whatsoever. That was my job that night, make the champion look as good as I possibly could. It wasn't about me. It was about him.
Well, buddy, listen, following that brief singles run, you're thrust back into the role that, man, you're best known for, and that's tag team wrestling. And in this month alone, you team with three different tag team partners, including Marcus Bagwell, Paul Roma, and, of course, Nature Boy Ric Flair. So we're going to begin by talking about you and Bagwell. This team was created out of necessity, as you would be substituting for Too Cold Scorpio, who had become Bagwell's regular tag team partner. But opposite of you guys in the ring were Stunning Steve Austin and Lord Steven Regal, who was substituting for Flying Brian. And now, Arn, these were house show matches that took place earlier on in the month. But it does offer the opportunity to talk a little bit about a couple of people that we don't get to talk about here enough on this show. And first, I want to talk a little bit about Too Cold Scorpio. He was a heavyweight who wrestled like a cruiserweight. And he left an impression on the audience with his charisma, his aerial attack. Do you remember the first time you saw Too Cold work?
Yeah, but he's a showman. I mean, you know, he had cool outfits coming to the ring. I think he had a couple of chicks at the beginning, was he?
Didn't he? He definitely did when he then transitioned over to WWE too. As Flash Funk, he had some girls on his arm there too.
Yeah, I mean, he had all the window dressing, plus, you know, he did the 450 and all that stuff when you didn't see it very often, and he did it flawlessly. So, you know, you knew he was going to have a successful career.
I think that's what was very impressive about him, was a guy his size that could do what he was doing. I mean, other than like a Vader, who was just a freak of nature and his athleticism, to see what Scorpio could do off the top rope so easily, just as a fan at that age, was so impressive.
Yep, 100%.
Well, listen, we'll move on from Scorpio. Let's talk a little bit about Bagwell. He had worked the undercard for the past couple of years, was recognized as one of wrestling's most promising talents. You couldn't get through a broadcast without Jim Ross making sure we all knew he was Rookie of the Year. But at this point, he had been with the company for about 2 years. What sticks out to you about the time that you spent working with Marcus?
Well, I mean, he just kind of really came, you know, out of nowhere. He came, I guess, from the school, right?
Mm-hmm,
he wasn't really experienced a lot. But, I mean, the guy, the whole package, his gear, handsome guy, good body, had that Furland Husky hairdo, had that shit blowed way back.
And yes.
Way up there. So, I mean, he had it all looks-wise, and he had a lot of talent, you know, a lot of baby face skills, good drop kicks, and you know, all kind of stuff like that baby faces needed. And you could tell that kid, you know, was heading places.
That's funny. He might have been cutting that shit with the Floby. You remember that thing? It was the attachment on the vacuum cleaner gimmick.
I think he might have been hanging upside down from some stairway and letting it fall down and somebody walk up on him and spray it or something.
Listen to us, two guys that are follically challenged, just having a good old time at Buff's expense.
We don't have a clue how he got that hair.
I know, right?
We're just throwing rocks without really throwing rocks.
You know, there you go.
If you don't know who Furland Husky is and why I called Bagwell Furland to this day, look it up.
I Googled him right now, Arn. I couldn't help myself, and holy shit, I see it now. Love it. From the Grand Ole Opry, Furland Husky.
That's correct.
I love it. Good stuff. Well, listen, we got some questions already from some of our listeners, and it comes from Patrick Ruth. He says, what was Buff missing, in Arn's opinion, that kept him from a top spot?
He was always figured in, but those top spots were few and far between. And, you know, it wasn't that easy to move from a middle spot to a top spot. It just really wasn't, because there was only room for a couple of guys there. And you needed to pay your dues. You needed to earn your way there, too. You can't, if you would have just brought him in and him win a few matches, and then you all of a sudden put him with the top guys, the audience will not accept that. You have to earn that.
Yeah, and you said it too, even when you started talking about Bagwell, was he came in kind of from the school, right, from the training center, and so he needed a lot more ring time, a lot more, and I don't necessarily mean ring time, but just working angles, telling stories, getting in front of the mic, all that development. And that was going to take time for somebody like that, especially ahead of you. Like you said, when you have Steve Austin's and Brian Pillman's and some of these other guys that are kind of getting that spot in these days.
And let me tell you, in the old days, what you needed to get over as a babyface, he needed to be in some wars. He had to be in, needed to be in there with some knockdown, drag out fights with some really tough heels, and survive them, so that he, you know, the audience knew that, hey, if he got down and he got hurt, he was still in the fight. And that's how you got over in those days. It wasn't so much about aerial skills and all the pretty moves. I mean, he needed to get his ass kicked not stay down.
Yeah.
Maybe that was what he wasn't booked in those tight matches, and he never got there during that time period, because that was reserved for the top stuff.
Additionally, Terrell Lewis, he wants to know, he says, Arn is a natural born heel like yourself. How much torture was it working with a white meat baby face like Bagwell? So you were tagging with him just a few times here. But what was that like? I mean, he is, white meat is the perfect word when it comes to babyface that he was at this point.
Well, it was oil and water.
Yeah.
And again, in those days, guys, there's no way for me to make sense out of some of the things I was put in and some of the things that occurred in those early days of WCW. And again, it was, we're at the 3-year mark, right?
Yeah.
Still growing, still trying to figure things out. Things were changing. Bookers were constantly changing. Front office was constantly changing. The direction of the company. And Bagwell and myself, that was just one of those. Him and Scotty Riggs, perfect. Perfect together. They the looked
American
perfect.
Males. Yeah.
Yeah, and they gelled incredibly. Myself, you know, that thing, they really didn't have a chance.
Shout out to Scotty Riggs, longtime listener of the ARM podcast. So
good dude, too. I like, hello, Scotty. You know, I always thought a lot of you. I always tried to put some wisdom on you when you would ask, and it was my pleasure.
There you go. ARM's a big fan. Hey, listen, before we move on to the next topic, I also want to take a moment to discuss his lordship, Steven Regal. He had joined the company at the beginning of this year, ARM, and Regal always had a different style than most fans were accustomed to seeing, especially 30 years ago. But for you, how was it working with Regal considering his European wrestling style? It was different. What did you make of his in-ring presentation? His lordship. What'd you think of that?
I loved it. You know, and when we first went over to England, and Regal was local guy, they had had him have a tryout match while we were over there. And buddy, I was singing his praises. I love that style, that European style with those uppercuts and the chain wrestling, and you know, just slugging it out and basically keeping it on the mat. It was just good. I love it. I love that stuff, and I love Steven Regal's whole demeanor. You know, lordship was just a smart ass, and he just carried himself in that ring. He just generated tons of heat, but still you looked at him and you went, as a man, you looked at him and went, that's a tough son of a bitch.
And you're one who's been known for some good facials, but man, Regal's guy had some serious facials.
Yes,
with this
he
character
did.
Yeah,
you bet he did. I mean, he was an Englishman.
He was, and just a fantastic wrestler. And now what he's doing to carry the business forward, can't say enough about William Regal. But we're going to move on from these tag matches that you wrestled earlier in the month, because you and Flair were preparing to take on the Hollywood Blondes at the Clash of Champions. We started talking about that last week. They were smart-mouthing you guys on the Flair for the Gold, talking about how old you were. And this was going to be Flair's first match back from WWF. And on the way there, they make a statement with a mockery, calling their version of the program a Flair for the Old. And as you might expect, we have that segment in its entirety. It's our first clip of this week, and it's Pillman and Austin's Flair for the Old. This would air on June 5th. I can already see you smirking on WCW Saturday night. Wait till you see this, Arn.
Go to the ring for our next match. It's going to be, no doubt about it, the men who are the World Tag Team Champions, the Hollywood Blondes, set to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the world-renowned celebration of nostalgia, a Flair for the Old, featuring the 7 or 8 or 9-time world champion, the Nature Boy, and featuring his maid, Pate. And now, the Nature Boy and tonight's special guest, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, Hollywood Blonde Stunning, Steve Austin!
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to announce that we have a special segment of a Flair for the Old. Here we are, nursing home paradise, live here on in Technicolor. And I know before we go any further, I'd like to give that moment every red-blooded male in America will love. And that's right. Take a deep breath. Let's bring her out. Pate, they're made. There she is. There she is. Woo! Oh, you sex kitten, you. It's one of the little perks being a host of the show. I'm very pleased to announce my special guest, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, Stunning Steve Austin. Let's bring him out. How are you, Steve? I'm told that you and your partner are doing some very tremendous things. You and Stunning Steve are just a tremendous combination.
I'm Stunning Steve.
What was that?
I'm Stunning Steve.
Anyway, Steve, you could maybe tell the great fans out there some of the great things that the Blondes are doing with this tag team.
Well, I feel like with a partner like Flying Brian, the Hollywood Blondes can go as... Hey, wake up! The Hollywood Blondes can go as far as they want to in tag team wrestling.
Pardon me, Steve. I believe it's time for my medication. If you could hold on 1 minute, please. Please hold the microphone for me.
Let me do that here.
Open up, open up.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. I suppose you're wondering about that medication. Well, it's all legally prescribed. A little nitro for the Alzheimer's. And I got some vitamin E in there, too. What they say, helps keep the old pencil sharp.
I wouldn't know about problems like that, but what I do notice is that the set's the same, but your best friend, your right-hand stooge, well, there's Mr. Stooge right there. I've got to say, Double A, it's a shame that the Nature Boy has to suffer of old age like this, but I've got to say, looking at that body, the last time I saw a body like that, it had an apple stuffed in its mouth, and it was roasting over an open flame. You like the barbecue? Huh? Well, let's see.
Wow, that's some red hot. Now, it's some cheap heat at the beginning there. What'd you think of the skit?
I like cheap heat.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you got to let them get away with it. That's the thing. You know, baby faces need to understand there's got to be a reason the audience pays for you to kick somebody's ass. And if you're always dominating the heels, I mean, I'm satisfied. You know, that was good. Brian did a great job with that. So did Steve.
It's a lot of fun. It's gimmicky and hokey, but it is fun, and it gets across, really just coming at you guys about the age. And is this Dusty still working with you guys behind the scenes? Do you recall at this point with some of these skits and Flair for the Gold?
I'm sure it was being run by him, but most of that was those guys. Those guys were so creative together. They're really, really smart, and they gave me just enough on the end, and that's all I needed.
And then you come out, and it's everybody. It's like an old Donnybrook at the end of the old 86-87 Jim Crockett promotion style, where you're fighting as you go off the air and flaring the dress clothes, running in. But you know what they noticed?
Short. Yes. Short and intense. Short and intense.
And Flair looked like he was ready to get physical, but the program ends without him touching anybody, and it goes to credits.
They have to come see it in the live events. You don't pay it off on television. But Flair looked like he was doing everything he could, which he was, to get to him.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love seeing you and Stone, and again, I can't help it, Stone Cold going at it in the ring. I mean, these are clips you got to show Brock. I mean, come on.
I love it. I knew Steve was destined for good things, great things. You know, we couldn't have never imagined how great, but... He had all the pieces.
Ah, so fun. You taking the old cane across the back. I can't imagine that felt good.
Oh, it stung.
Yeah, it looked like it did.
Well, it was necessary, and it's part of what we do.
That's right. Well, listen, it's time to talk about the much-anticipated return of the Nature Boy, and he joins you to take on the Blondes. It's Clash of Champions at the Norfolk Scope in Norfolk, Virginia, on June 17th, 1993. 6,000 fans were in attendance for the event. You and Flair challenged the Blondes for the tag team titles. Arn, it's a 2-out-of-3-falls match, and it headlined the event. How fun is this? Flair won the first fall for your team. He pins Pillman following a running forearm at 9 minutes and 41 seconds. The next fall lasted just over 10 minutes. And we have the final minutes of the bout plus the post-match angle. Here we go. Second clip of the week, June 17th, 1993. Let's see how it all goes down in Norfolk, Virginia. Here we go.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, desperation.
Whoa, and he knocked Flying Brian senseless.
Anderson.
He made the move to the wrong corner, though. Tag to Stunning Steve. And Anderson can't make the corner. Driving those knees into the hamstring. And a smart move by the champions right there. Drag Arn Anderson back to the ring. It'll take him all day to reach Flair now.
Oh, on the leg again. Back of the neck. Snap air, Flying Brian in. And the Blondes down 1-0.
Tag. If he don't make it this time, Tony, I believe it's over. Tag Flair.
Ric Flair. Maybe on the verge of becoming a World Tag Team Champion again in his career. Sending Austin in.
A disqualification.
You're right again, but the referee didn't see it, so the match continues.
I think he conveniently didn't see it. Oh, how could he miss that?
To get up and trying to dump Austin. Flair could be. He got it. And now the fan sensing it. Barry Windham is on his way to the ring. The figure four. The figure four. The referee's calling for the bell.
Now what happened? Did Austin submit or did Barry Windham get him disqualified?
I have no idea what's going on here.
The bout is because of disqualification. Blair and Anderson are the winners. The title does not change hands.
Here comes Roma. The other horseman, the newest horseman. Paul Roma in street clothes has jumped into the ring.
Incredible! This match is over because of Windham's interference. And Windham is still on Ric Flair. They cannot pull him off. Flair's hurt. The sneak attack by Barry Windham and Ric Flair is hurt.
And so is Arn Anderson hurt. Down on the mat. Arn Anderson, his partner there with him. The Hollywood Blondes retain the World Tag Team title as a result of a disqualification and Barry Windham's interference. Let's go now to Tony Schiavone, who's standing by with Barry Windham. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, you didn't have much to say about Ric Flair not too long ago, but I think it's very apparent by what we've seen.
Right there, that's how much he wants of me. Ric Flair's never wanted any of me. He hasn't wanted any of me now, and he never will. Ric Flair,
I'm the world heavyweight champion. You walked away from it, and I took it. Something you don't deserve, and it belongs to me. You've got no guts, and you certainly will never be the world champion again, because I am the one that took it away.
Well, Arn, it is clear as crystal that this tag match was a vehicle to move Flair on to Barry Windham, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed that, though. That's one I remember.
That place exploded. Definitely Norfolk was horseman country. I did, when you gave that hot tag, man, the roof came off.
Yeah, and Rick made a hell of a comeback. And that's when you switch from heel to babyface, and people ask me all the time, how do you do that? Well, you still do what you do. You just are doing it to someone else. All Rick was doing was punching and chopping and kicking. But it came across like a babyface comeback because of the fire involved. It's right. The execution of it. He didn't all of a sudden start drop kicking and head scissoring and all that stuff. He just did what Ric Flair does. And he kicked the shit out of those guys for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, whatever it was. And that's exciting in those days. Comeback was 45 seconds to a minute. And it could be the best and most exciting minute of any match when it was done right. That was pretty damn good.
Yeah, bingo. Exactly. It was done right here. And WCW does move Flair into the title picture with Wyndham. That's going to happen Beach Blast in July. We'll get there next week or 2 weeks, because next week's Ask Arn and Brock Anything, when we get to July 1993. But, man, the audience was ready. We also see Barry here. He comes out, causes, like I said, that DQ. He was clad in all black, and he had a successful title defense against Too Cold Scorpio earlier that night. And it might seem trivial, but Barry wore red tights with red and white Austin Hall boots when he wrestled you at Slamboree. What about these black tights? Does it make it more obvious? Hey, he indeed is the heel in this program. Or is it a throwback to his father, maybe, Blackjack?
Or it would just...
Or does it matter?
Coincidence. And nobody, okay. None of us thought about it in those days. I mean, I'm no babyface. And just wearing white tights and those white and blue boots, it was just... I don't know that it had a meeting other than the fact that it let you know that I was a tan son of a gun.
He was.
More so than it having any meaning as far as the wrestling world. It was just, hey, damn, that guy's been out in the sun.
Yeah, if he was wearing red and black, it didn't mean he was going to be extra ornery that night.
No, just that was his color scheme.
I got you.
He liked those colors.
Well, listen, finally, this clash featured the debut of Michael Buffer as a special announcer for major events.
No shit.
Yep. It was his first event. He would go on to be the guest announcer for the company for the next 8 years, Arn. Do you think bringing a guy like Buffer in for that event was designed to make Flair, his return, even feel more special?
No, I think it was them starting to have a guy. You know, he was red hot from the UFC stuff. Making those announcements.
Yeah, the
his
boxing,
voice.
Yeah.
And Bach, you know, when I say UFC.
Yeah, his brother does UFC. Same thing, though.
I was wrong about that. Yeah, boxing. And that's what he was known from. But boxing was red hot back then. You had a lot of stars. And that just took something from another dimension, and boxing fans, and maybe, you know, they cut on wrestling and they went, hey, there's a crossover. That's our ring announcer, you know. And he had that booming, fantastic voice. It dressed up our product. It really did.
So you were a fan of the Michael Buffer
I was. Yeah. Yes, of course.
I like it, too. Let's get ready to rumble. I mean, that guy has made money. It's licensed. It's his. And it does. It just brings like a next. He's still doing it for football games.
Smart man.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Before we move on, though, Arn, we have a couple listener questions about this clash that we just watched. Scott Golden said, the clash match is one of my top favorite tag matches of all time because I was in attendance that night. I was there. Was there ever talk of a rematch after that clash, or was it simply, hey, we're just going to move on now with the singles program for Flair?
Just a one-off. Just fill in a position.
Scott, when I hear that you got to be there for these days, man, that's awesome. The fact that you got to be a fan and live that live, what we just heard with that audience, with Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Brian Pillman, and Steve Austin, man, just so cool to me as a wrestling fan. Dylan wants to know, what's the biggest difference between a 2 out of 3 falls match and a 3 stages of hell match that WWE used to do? And how do you feel about them individually? Thanks, guys.
I don't even recall.
You know what? I have to look up what the rules are for the 3 stages of hell, Dylan. Let me do that. 3 stages of hell. What was that all about? Are you a fan? While I look it up, what did you think about the 2 out of 3 falls matches? You a fan of those?
Me?
Yeah, 2 out of 3 falls.
If you put the babyface behind the 8 ball, getting him down 1 fall. And then he somehow pulls one out, and he gets back even. But on the tail end of him getting back even, he gets hurt again, and he really looks like he's in trouble. It's all about the drama.
And this is what it is. You ready? It's a rare match that forces 2 wrestlers to wrestle 3 different types of matches. There have only been 5 of this kind of match in WWE history, started in 2001. So, for instance, Triple H went against Stone Cold February 2001. The first fall was a standard match. That's the 1st stage of hell. 2nd fall, street fight. 3rd fall, steel cage. So the stipulation essentially would change and kind of be more brutal with each fall. So what's your opinion of that versus just a standard 2 out of 3 falls match?
Well, was the cage suspended above the ring?
It would have been suspended and then dropped down for the 3rd fall, yeah.
It would have to be. So there's that drama. If it's hanging there for the whole match, I would imagine it would have been hanging there for the entire night, right?
That's correct.
So that's always a good visual, you know, for later on. You keep looking up, that's a visual. The drama builds, I guess. And with those 2 guys, I'm sure it was a tremendous story.
That was one of them. Listen to some of these matches, Arn, while we're here. Triple H then did this with Shawn Michaels. I mean, 2 of the best all time in 2002. Street fight 1, steel cage 2, ladder match 3rd fall. They need to bring this back. This is actually kind of cool. Randy Orton versus Triple H in 2009. Standard match. Then falls count anywhere. Then stretcher. We'll go through all of them. There's only 5 of them. John Cena Ryback. June 16th, 2013. You were there for this, right? John Cena, 2013?
Yes.
The 1st fall was lumberjack. 2nd fall, tables. 3rd fall, an ambulance. So I had to be thrown in the ambulance. And then Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole, the final one, in 2019. They started with a standard match, went to a street fight, and then they ended up in a steel cage match.
Well, if you bought a ticket, you've got a lot more than what
you're
you
watching
for.
Some awesome matches, that's for sure. Yep.
You did that live audience a lot of good by them getting more than what they paid for.
Nick Lenz is up next. You were at Arn. How did you feel about Sid being back in WCW in June of 93? He's inserted into the main event creative immediately. He's positioned alongside the world champion Vader as the masters of the powerbomb. Did you believe he was deserving of the spot at the time? And then Nick also wants to know how Rick was as a tag team partner. So let's start with Sid coming right in and being pushed right to the top.
I really don't want to talk about the Sid thing because that was after.
We're getting close to that in October, yeah.
Oh, it hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
It's coming, though.
Sid looked the part. He was a monster. You know, when there weren't monsters everywhere, there was very few monsters walking around in WCW in those days, and he had the look, that's for sure. And his offense was pretty damn solid.
So as far as deserving a main event push, coming right back in, you thought that was deserved?
You can't use him in any other fashion. Yeah. That's a guy that was a top guy from day one, I think, just because of what he brought to the table. He's a guy now, we're talking about Bagwell, you couldn't push him too far too quick. This guy you had to bring in on top. You had to.
Yeah.
His positioning had to match his look.
He's a monster. You said it. He's the ruler of the world. Yeah.
He's a monster.
Nick wants to know about Rick as a tag team partner. Did you enjoy tagging with Rick when you had these opportunities as you watched that match back?
Absolutely. I mean, it brought, you know, cachet to the match. It made the match bigger. You know, Rick was, if not the biggest star in the company, one of them, certainly, and in the business itself. So to get to be his partner, you know, I think from perception-wise, it was good for me.
Finally, our buddy Brian Haremza. Did Arn see a long-term team with himself and Rick, or did Arn know it was just going to be short-term?
No, Rick was a single performer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when he was at his best as the champion, defending the title in a singles match. That's where you got the best of Rick.
But going on from what Brian says here, he felt like, did you feel like too, hey, it's nice to introduce Rick back, tag team vehicle, and then, you know, turn him back over to singles?
Yep, it gave me a rub. It helped me, him coming back in.
True.
I was not opposed to that.
Listen, this is I've been looking forward to this part of our show because this action's intense. It's credible. We are believing it all. But Arn, in this third and final WCW mini movie produced by Turner Home Entertainment at the direction of Sharon Sadello, as with the promotion for Halloween Havoc and Super Brawl 3, Turner executives believe that these movies served as an appropriate vehicle for advertising the upcoming pay-per-view. And thankfully, this one is so bad that they stopped making mini movies after this one. Are you ready to check this out, this mini movie for Beach Blast?
Not sure.
Listen, caring is sharing. And I want to share this B-level Russell crap with you, Arn.
You're torturing me.
Because I care. Third clip of the week. Beach Blast mini movie. Here we go.
According to the newspapers, Sting and Davey Boy out here on an island somewhere having a party with a bunch of kids. Can you imagine that, huh? Biggest day of their life coming up. Beach Blast. What are they doing out here partying with a bunch of snotty-nosed kids?
You mean to tell me that they missed our rally? To be out here with a bunch of snot-nosed stingers.
Hold down, gentlemen. Makes my blood boil, too. But according to the map, that island's got to be out here somewhere.
There it is, Colonel. I think I see the island just ahead of us. That's it right there. Colonel, if they don't accept our offer this time, they're gonna be in for a big surprise. Is your man ready?
Yeah, he's ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Do you trust Cheatham to get the job done?
Please, let me do it.
Nah, I'll take care of it.
Now, man, they'll see the reason I assure you and ask for Cheatham. I trust him like he was my own. I told Willie B to be prepared in the event that Sting and David Boy don't see the light. If they decline our proposal, they'll be in for a beach blast like they've never seen before. So to speak.
You girls get on out of here.
Yo, their history! Come on, kid!
Come on!
Whoa, whoa, hold it. Looks like we've got some uninvited guests.
Hey, Sting, what's going on?
Look, it's Sid and Vader.
What do you suppose they want? Okay, everybody just stay here for a second. This looks like it could be pretty interesting. Davey, let's go see what they want.
Yeah.
Boy, the skulls and the bones that lie beside our path are symbols of our victories.
Davey boy.
Accept our proposal!
Sting, Davey boy, accept these two tickets here to the retirement haven of your choice. I'll suffer the consequences.
Oh, I don't know, Davey. I'm kind of thinking maybe we should just forget about this whole thing. I mean, we got the tickets.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying, look at the size of these guys. We got two tickets on our hands. We can fly out of here and forget the whole...
I don't want no offer from them.
Well, Davey, look it, one more time. 450 pounds, Van Vader, 6'7" and 300 some odd pounds, Sid Vicious, masters of the power bomb. I mean, maybe we should just take these tickets and just retire.
Nah, I don't think so. We'll see you at Beach Blast.
Wait a minute. Davey boy, Sting, you just signed your death warrant. You're not going to make it to Beach Blast.
Boy, I just made a serious mistake here. Enjoy your outing on this island today. You may be here for a long, long time.
Yeah.
What do you suppose they mean by that?
I don't know, Davey. They're just desperate people, and desperate people do desperate things. But I'll tell you one thing. They're going to be tough.
Okay, guys, let's go back and play some volleyball. Let's go have some fun.
Kara and Christy, what did you want to tell me?
There was a funny guy hanging around the boat.
A funny guy hanging around the boat? Say what?
Hey, Sting! Sting, where's he going?
He's gonna see the guy hanging around the boat going click, click, click.
No, they wouldn't.
Sting!
I think we both just got punked from the research guy. What was that? Oh, man.
This is, you listen, you're the co-host of this, your comments. I don't know what to say.
Listen, wrestle crap to the nth degree. I what Listen, believe it or not, I don't know. I call it a dumpster fire, a waste of money. You got Sting playing Zach Morris on the beach. I guess that makes Davey Boy AC Slater. It was terrible. The acting, the music. It was like Western music on the beach. The OK Corral showdown. Arn, it was just bad.
The reality is, it is not what we do. It's not what they do. We're not in the movie-making business.
You have two of the most feared heels in the company, Vader and Sid, challenging the franchise, along with Davey Boy Smith. And, hey, let's try to get the angle over this way. Yikes, man. We actually have a few questions about it from our listeners. Alex says, if you know of any funny bloopers that took place while they made the mini movie, were you even aware they put all this together back then, Arn? No. You're not claiming any knowledge of this shit.
No, I had nothing to do with it. I watched it, I'm sure, like everybody else, when it aired. I can take responsibility for a lot of stuff. I did a lot of things, I'm sure, that were not great, but I cannot take credit for this kind of stuff. It just was trying to make some type of crossover believable with guys in wrestling gear on a beach.
Right, with Vader's gear on with a pair of what? Did he have sneakers on coming off the boat?
He had on the mask and the whole shooting match. You know, it's just Colonel Parker out there on the beach. And,
with his suit on and his cigar.
There's entertainment, and then there's entertainment.
Oh, man. Eric Sedan has a fun question. Oh, Arn, was there ever a vignette or promo that made you think for a second, hey, I might want to try my own hand at acting?
No.
You never thought about acting at all? Being the next Rock or, you know, anything like that?
I was just a realist. I had a very simple gimmick. What you see is what you got, and most of the time, whether you thought it was a good idea or not, it was the truth.
Arn, we got to get away from this nonsense.
Please don't ever show me anything like that again.
That was the last one they did. That was the last movie one they did.
And hopefully they learned. I mean, I know their hearts were right. It was their company. It was,
sure.
You know, they were just trying to add to the product, and it was just being a fish out of water.
Well, Arn, we're getting back to some wrestling after all that. Thank you, Andrew Hermes, you son of a bitch, for making us watch that this week. And,
Andrew, go out your back door, find the largest tree that's a short distance from it, and run head on into it.
Yes, I love it. I love it, man. Thank you.
Please.
Yeah, the research guy. That's right. So good. Oh, that's
you're fired.
Listen, as we discussed last week and wrapping up the show this week, Paul Roma, he joined the Horseman stable at Slamboree 93. We watched the clip. Our final clip of the week, it's one of the first televised matches where you and Roma team together and you're taking on the Wrecking Crew. It's June 26, 1993. It's worldwide. We had the match, the promo, final clip, the initial outing, Anderson and Roma. Let's watch.
Tremendous tag team action as worldwide is, like you said, just underway with a bang. Want to let the fans know that Catherine White, we do understand, will attempt to try to restore the memory of Cactus Jack. And we will have some more reports from her next week.
I think she ought to give Roma him a bath first.
There you see Paul Roma, who's in the wrong corner. What an initiation as a horseman here. And what initiation he had at Clash of the Champions. Harshman and Roma and Anderson. Both men now taking on Rage and Fury on the outside. Go both members of the Wrecking Crew.
Well, the one thing the Wrecking Crew is going to learn quick is, you see, the Wrecking Crew very unhappy with the fans here. But they're going to learn fast that the Horsemen can break the rules. There's no doubt about it. They're both good, good wrestlers, but they'll punch it out and they'll break the rules as much as they have to do it, Tony.
Jesse, we've had so many different Horsemen. Barry Windham was a Horseman at one time. We saw what happened with Barry Windham, the Lone Wolf, and Ric Flair at the beginning of the program. Sid Vicious was a Horseman at one time. How do you compare, look at this, double team, how do you compare these new Horsemen to the old four Horsemen?
Well, in reality, you're only speaking about one new horseman. Of course, Nature Boy Ric Flair and Arn Anderson have always been horsemen. Paul Roma, the newest horseman, obviously, they picked him out. You know, with a lot of scrutiny, they went out, they looked for the man that they wanted, and they came up with Paul Roma.
And I don't think it's a bad choice. The man is a tremendous athlete, has a lot of ability, and has great endurance. And that's one thing the horseman has always been known for, endurance.
But the main thing is how good-looking he is. That's first on the horseman agenda, is you got to have looks to get the women.
Throws him up! Oh, and a big clubbing forearm that time from Rage.
Don't you agree with that, Tony?
Well, not necessarily. Here's a tag. I mean, the head of the horseman is Ole Anderson. I don't think he goes after guys looks first. He goes after how tough they are. Big drop kick. Roma, 1-2. And a save by Fury and Arn Anderson back in.
Well, Arn was a little late. Fury got in there and made the save, and it's a good thing he did because Roma had Rage in a lot of trouble. And now we got one of them outside. Whoa, and Roma just ran Fury into the post.
Anderson with a spine buster. He is not the legal man. Here comes Roma!
There's the legal man!
The Horseman with a tremendous win here on WCW Worldwide. Jesse has a big announcement to make concerning Beach Blast. He's going to make that at ringside as he'll be talking to the Horseman. Well, here we go once again, the replay. Anderson had the spine buster, and like you said, he was not the legal man, but he put him down at a great point for Paul Roma to come off the top. And there you see Anderson and then Roma for the 1-2-3. Your winners, the Horsemen, Arn Anderson and pretty Paul Roma, who are now down at ringside, along with Jesse the Body Ventura.
Thank you, Tony. I'm standing here with legends of wrestling, the four horsemen. Of course, the veteran horseman, Arn Anderson, who has been a horseman his entire career, along with Nature Boy Ric Flair, and the newest of the four horsemen, Paul Roma. But gentlemen, we all know how good the horseman is, but right now I got news for you. The number one tag team in all the world is the Hollywood Blondes. And we all know, coming up at Beach Blast, you two are going to get your shot at the Blondes, Arn Anderson.
Go to my man.
You know, that's right. They are the best. And we've only been together a short time. But we just showed you why we are the number one contenders and why we are going to get the shot at the Hollywood Blondes. And we're going to make the most of this shot.
Jesse Ventura, do I look like a nice guy? Have I ever been a nice guy?
Not too often.
Brian Pillman, I would smack my granny in the mouth for 50 cents. Much less grab that stack of dimes you call a nick and love to squeeze till something pops. And you, Steve Austin, you like to insult people. My friend, understand one thing. We're the horsemen, the dirtiest players in the game. All we need is one shot. Because we're worse or better than everybody else, however you want to look at it. We need one shot.
Arn, you know what this week's title of the episode is? June 1993. I'd slap my granny for 50 cents. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. See, it was oil and water already. You could tell that.
That's where I was headed next. I mean, in ring work, what did you think?
Looked like $1 million. Great body.
I want to give you credit for something at the end of that match. After you spine-bustered your opponent, you took the time to move him over for then the splash from Roma for the pin. I see so many times now where guys start shuffling their bodies around for the spot.
Yeah, and that just kills it off. It kills all the realism to it completely off. Yeah, I mean, that's just what you did. You're already in the ring illegally. You got a five count to get out of there. So if you're going to change the complexion of it, change it.
And you took him into your hands. And I love that I saw that you do that, because that's missing in today's wrestling, where you're the one adjusting the guy for the guy coming off the rope, not the guy moving his body around so that they can take the spot right.
Yeah, and Paul, you could, I mean, let's be fair to Paul, because there's been rhetoric for 20 however many years over this. You know, it's the fact is he wasn't comfortable in that position, nor should he have been. to be honest with you. And he was walking in after Tully Blanchard getting teased that he might come back. And now, Paul, nothing was acceptable after that. It wasn't a matter of who you would have put in that spot. If it wasn't going to be Tully, who would it have been?
Yeah. But I think he nailed it on the head. Great in the ring, but you put the stick in front of him, and it just is what it is. He's still white meat babyface presentation style promo, and then you come in and you're, you know, threatening Granny with a slap for 50 cents. It's totally different.
Yeah, that might have took a little steam off of everything else, but
yeah,
that's what I did. That's what I do. It's who I am.
Well, listen, that concludes our coverage, and my God, what a month it was. June 1993, Arn, this was a fun show. Another big month for the Horsemen. Flair returns, you team with Roma, and all three of you are in the hunt for championship gold. And, man, listen, before we get out of here, I just want to remind everybody, Arn Anderson, you can find all your merch. You can follow and check out old episodes at arnlinks.com. You'll find our social media pages, as I said, the Four Horsemen jackets. It's starting to get cooler in the fall season. Look at you got your new Four Horsemen shirt there.
That's the old school. That was one of the originals.
Arn, I got to tell you, two more designs are on the site. That J.D. Hoop-inspired show, Enforcing, is on there. The one that you kind of had some input on, it's on the store. And also the four title belts of the Four Horsemen. There's a brand new shirt design that two of them just got posted. So guys, check it out. You can go boxofgimmicks.com, arnlinks.com. It'll all take you to the same place. Two brand new shirts, including one designed by J.D. Hoop. And our guy Dominic D'Angelo did the other one. And by the way, I think that was Dominic D'Angelo driving the boat in that movie for Sid and Vader. So, Dom, you'll have to let us know if that was you. Kind of look like you. But check it out, arnlinks.com. I'm going to get slammed so much for that. I love it.
Well, he would only been about 3 years old if that's the case, right?
That's true. It's true. A
little
point.
Young to be driving a boat.
It looked like him, though, man. It
what
did.
What the heck?
Oh, man. Next week, the control of the show is back in all of your hands because it's Ask Arn Almost Anything. And like the Horseman days, Arn is not coming alone. Brock Anderson is going to be joining the show, sitting alongside the Enforcer and answering your questions. We're not going to get to them all, but we're going to get to as many as possible. And then after we wrap up, Arn and I are going to do a bonus 30-minute show of Ask Arn for ad-free shows for the month of September. So check it out. Can't wait, Arn. I can't wait to have Brock on the show.
Me too. I think he's going to do a fine job.
Guys, listen, if your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, no better place for you than to advertise with Arn.com right now. Arn, Spider Grip, they're coming back for two spots, one in November, one in December. David Britt reached out to me to let me know he bought two more spots with the show.
Beautiful.
So excited about that. Guys, you can too. If you have a product or service, go to advertisewitharn.com right now, and you can be a part of the Arn Show and help support us, and we would thank you so much for it. Arn, thank you for doing this with me again this week.
You got a lot of guts with some of this shit, I'm telling you. You're doing this to torture me, but the audience, I'm sure, is loving it.
Eating it up, loving it, loving every second of it, and that's what it's all about. Thank you for being a good sport. Guys, listen, on behalf of the birthday boy, the Hall of Famer, the founder, the creator, the champion. Go ahead. You got something.
You were the birthday boy 2 days before me, so happy belated.
All good. It's the 18th and then the 20th. That was
September. A good month.
Yeah,
it was a good month.
Good month, September. And, hey, thank you so much for that. On behalf of the founder, the creator, the champion, the author, the father, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week for another episode of Arn